I am Mark Miller. I am the community manager for the Nexus at Sonatype, plus I also run the Trusted Software Alliance, which is a group of authors and speakers that get together and share information. If you, anybody associate with OWASP at all? Are you with OWASP? Oh, we're an organization, 44,000 members. I run the OWASP podcast series. So if you listen to those, that's me. And then I've got the Nexus Community Project. What you're here for today is, earlier this year, a group of us of these companies got together, and we were just trying to discover who really within enterprises has the responsibility for security. And, you know, I went in with some preconceived notions, but some of this stuff got blown out of the water. So I'm glad you're here so that you can see what's going on. So thanks a lot to the people that sponsored it. I know I saw John Willis here from the DevOps Cafe. If you haven't seen John walking around, just say hi to him. So the first thing that we did is we analyzed the people that were going to be taking the survey. What industry you're in, what are you doing, how big's your company, that kind of thing. So the first thing that we found here is that the technology companies were the ones that responded most to the survey. But the interesting parts that we were able to pull out is, what is the financial sector doing for security? What is government doing? And then within those, how do the developers themselves perceive themselves as part of the security application? So what's your role here? Interesting enough, 30% of the people chose DevOps. Now, in my book, DevOps is not a role, right? Gene was here talking yesterday about DevOps, if you saw the keynote. DevOps is more of an idea than a role. But as the concept is growing, it appears that people are starting to define themselves in the role of DevOps. I thought that was kind of fascinating. 26 development, things like that. So developers like that. So when we ask, okay, we found out what it is. Now, what's your responsibility level when it comes to security? How responsible is your position for security? And so we said, what are you doing with your organization right now? So you've got the practitioners, you've got managers, senior managements, and executives. So what we're looking at here mainly in this survey is practitioners and managers that responded to this survey. We had close to 300 companies respond, or as Gene said, there were 300 respondents. I think it was 279 exactly, something like that. So first question then, and this is a weird one. Let's poll this right now. How many people are using open source as part of their application? I mean, everybody raise your hand. You have to in order to be doing it now. Now, the interesting thing is, how many people think that 50% or less of their applications are built with open source? Wow. How about 80%? How many people think 80% is open source? One or two? Okay, so I'm starting to get a raised hand. The interesting part is when we go into large enterprises, such as banks, international banks, or other types of companies, even in government, when we get them to estimate on the spot how much open source are you using, the usual number came back to about, we think we're using about 20%. But when we went and actually did a scan against the components that were in there, we found that they had 80 to 90% of their applications are actually open source. And that was a stunner, that people's head would literally snap back when you show them the report. And when I was looking at that, I started to write a paper about, you know, what happens when you do underestimate how much open source you're using. And a lot of that you'll see in here in the survey. But if you underestimate your use of open source, you're going to underestimate how much you had to worry about the security of using those components. So for custom development languages, what language we're using, 57% responded with Java. I think with what happened with .NET over the last week and the way Microsoft is opening up stuff, you're going to see a lot more developers come forward on that too. The big thing here, though, is look, I don't know if you can see the small print. I hope I made it large enough for you. If you're in an organization of over 5,000 employees, 83% of those companies are using Java. So if you're a Java developer and you're looking for a job, look for a company that's got over 5,000 employees. I mean, it only makes sense, right? The other thing is when you're looking at financial services, 82% of the financial services have some kind of Java development team right there on the premises. Banking and finance, 88%. You're looking at really high numbers here as far as how much Java is in the large enterprise. So then we started getting into the content of the survey that said, who is really responsible now for application security? Who are you going to call out if something happens? A couple interesting things here. 40% of the respondents said developers are responsible for it. And that one, from experience, you go, well, hold on now. How could developers be responsible? The main primary drivers behind security, when what they're doing is actually trying to push the product out on time, as fast as they can, throw it over the wall to ops, and then isn't ops really responsible for the final security of that application? That's the way most enterprises were running up to 2 or 3 years ago. Developers just made the stuff as fast as they could, you throw it over the wall and move on to your next project. Does anybody recognize that? Yeah, guys in the back, yes, good, thank you. So the dilemma there is the respondent said 40% said developers are responsible. And then 76 said that developers spend less than 15% of their time on application security. Kind of a dichotomy there. I think the real response here is in that second one where it says 42% of the developers know that it's important, but they just don't have the time to spend on it. If you've got, you know, your Kanban board, you got anything that you're working on and stuff's just flowing through as fast as it can, how much time are you really going to spend as a developer on security if it is not raised as one of your top priority items to be having a handle on when you're developing your software? It has to be on the priority list in order for it to happen. So when we went to the developers, we can actually filter the results and say, okay, if you're a developer and you're filling out this survey, now who's responsible for it? And the developer said, we are. 67% of the developers agreed, okay, we'll take the hit. We're responsible for the security. 26% said that security isn't their main focus, though. And obviously, it's not. The main focus is to build software, right? And then 40% said no time to spend on it. Here's the kicker, though, is 74% stated that they have no policies or the policies aren't effectively enforced if they have them. So if they're not effectively enforced, you might as well not have them. You know, I've got a 9 and a 12-year-old children at home, and one of the things that you do there is if there are no consequences for the actions are going to keep happening. You can do all the warnings, all the threats, all that stuff. It's not going to work unless there's some kind of consequence to the action, and we're finding that in 74% of the cases, even though people might have policies in place, they're not effectively enforced. Now, here's an interesting one, if you can see the observations there, is that 67% of the developers thought that it was their responsibility. But when we looked at companies of 5,000 employees or over, it went up to 84% think that it's the compliance and the risk management responsibility to do that. Now, the dilemma there is if you look up, 74% aren't enforced, the compliance isn't enforced, and yet 84% says it's compliance responsibility, you got a real big problem there. I hate just spewing out numbers. Anybody want to comment while I've got going? So we just kind of slow that down. There's just a lot of numbers going on. Any comments so far? Does that mean I'm doing okay? I think so. I hope so. So what's your role in AppSec? On a score of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself? Don't worry about the small print. I've got a link for you to get the deck after this is all over. So don't worry about the small print. But out of companies that have employees with 100 to 1,000 employees, 76% rank security. Their responsibility for security is an 8 or higher. Their responsibility is 8 or higher. And we go back to the previous slide and said, okay, if that's your responsibility, where's the enforcement? And I'm going to keep coming back to that. I'm going to be a broken record at this point. Where is the enforcement if you currently have it? And I'll give you the tail end of the spiel here, is the enforcement is not manual enforcement. It's not people. It's automation. And if we can get to that point where the application security is automated as part of the development cycle, that's when we're going to get a better hit. With 5,000 people or more, 75% rank security as an 8 plus or higher. So we have some notes here. I'll read the bottom one down here so you can see in the back. But the conclusion is strong personal sense of responsibility, but there's too little policies enforced. And so people make up their own standards. Please. No, I don't think it's whether I would. You know, I haven't thought about it that way. Did you guys hear what he said? He said, from the conclusion here, then shouldn't we want people to say two, security is a two priority. If we've automated everything, everything's working properly. Is that your conclusion? I wish. I mean, but the main thing that I want to get out of this portion is that people do take a responsibility for it. They try internally. They say, this is important. But the problem is they don't have the tools or the policies to do it. So they start making up their own, and so everybody else is creating. Everyone is creating their own policies around security. Are any of these a security concern? And, you know, I knew it was coming when I asked the question, but most concerns when people are checking about security, they're talking about functional defects. They're not talking about security at all. They're talking about does the software function or not. And so when we look at that, we're looking at close to 75-80% are saying, you know, when we're testing for something, we're actually testing for functional defects. So when they are testing for open source, I like that 65% say that they're testing for open source. They said that open source is a security concern. Let me back up. It's the number two issue, but only 31% test for it. We've got a huge gorilla over in this room over here, but we're not really going to go and see what's going on. All right? Then this was also, as we filtered it out, this was the number one issue for government. If you guys are working for government, you might consider that open source is critical. We're finding a whole lot of buy-in from government on these concepts. How much time do developers spend on security? I'm not surprised, 5%. I think that if things are running properly and being done in an automated fashion, this will even go down. But the developer's number one priority is not security. I'm sorry. I mean, if you're a developer, you know that. And you just, we'd just be fooling people if we said, okay, we're going to put the responsibility of this on developers. Then you're going to have to give them a new job title and a raise to get that to happen. So 5% to 10%, I would be surprised if we could find people that were consistently, as developers, 10% of their job was actually doing application security. What about the interest of in-house developers in regard to AppSec? Developers know it's important. Again, the mind space says this thing that we're doing here is important. But the dilemma, as we'll see in a couple more questions here, is are you allocated the time in order to do it? And I think mainly there are two things that we need to think about if you're going to take this back with you. One is your developers want to do the right thing. Nobody walks into work and say, you know what, I'm really going to hose this thing today. Right? Well, some do, but that's a whole different story. So nobody goes to work and says, you know what, I don't care about security. I have nothing to do with that. But the problem is there are not rules, or the rules that they have are not enforced, and there's no automation in process. You're going to hear me, I'm a broken record, because after seeing this, I just keep going over and over. If you're not automating through the development lifecycle, the creation of this software, there's absolutely no way to maintain it. At the anybody using Maven Central? Do I have any Java developers in here? Okay. Maven, you using Central Repository? Yeah. We had 13 billion downloads of components last year from the repository. Sonatype manages the repository. And when you think about that, if you've got 13 billion downloads, it's literally impossible for anybody of any size to keep track of where that stuff is. Not only can you not keep track of it, because there's so much, that when something happens, let's say, I mean, Struts 2 is an easy one to point out because it was so obvious. So, say Struts 2 happens. How do you know where Struts 2 is used? Okay? Now, that's a relatively easy one because it was so prominent in the press. But what about the smaller components that they were safe, they were good when you put them in, but over time, a vulnerability appears? How do you know that you're actually using that component? And if you have not automated the processes to know how this is used and where it's located, you're completely lost. Now, it goes deeper than that. I was talking to Gary McGraw. Anybody know Gary from Cigital? Talking to Gary, and he said, there's another problem that's even deeper than that, too, is what if you have components that are good, but when you put them in combination, they have unexpected results? Holy crap. I mean, the room just exploded. It was just, for me, that was like, then that's a sinkhole that you can't get out of. So the gist of where I'm headed with this is that we need to put automation into the development lifecycle and have the monitoring of that happen after things go into production. And it has to be automated. That's where I'm going with this. So when does AppDev spend time with the security group? And this one, not a surprise. Actually, I was surprised that it was this low, 42%. So the security managers, anybody that's running security, compliance, enforcement, at 42% of the time, the first time that they spend time with the developers is at the end of the development cycle. And that's because they're probably going into staging and they're getting bombed out in staging. Or it goes into production, which we got to get this thing out. I know there's a couple bugs in it, but we got to get this thing out. And that's when security is talking to developers. As I look at this during the design phase as a security review, I thought 33% was a high number. Have you done that? Are you actually putting security into your design phase before you even open the box? 33 was high to me when I was looking at that. 30% said, you know what? Our security team doesn't even work with our developer team. That's an honest answer, right? They build the software. We're going to get ops to stand it up, and then we'll deal with it. Okay. Getting to the meat of it here. Describe your current app security policies. In the red box there at the top, we've got 67% do not have clear, well-defined, enforced policies. You've got people that want to do a good job. You've got people that think it's their responsibility in order to create software that's secure, and yet there's no policies in place, and if they do, they're not enforced. And then you look down and you say 12.5% have well-defined automated policies. And if you, how many people were at Gene's talk yesterday? Did everybody go to Gene's? Most people went to Gene's talk. I think this is what the core of the DevOps movement can help move forward when it comes to security. And that is, if you look at the 12.5% of the companies that have well-defined policies that are enforced through automation, you'll find that these are the people that are accelerating away from the herd, in Gene's terms. Now, as we go through this, I want to break it out for government a bit here. Describe your current app security policies. How many people are working with government, by the way? Yeah, okay. We have policies that are not enforced, 59%. You're shaking your head, yes, you've seen this, right? I think I saw your name on the survey. So 40% in the financial services, 28% in the tech do not have policies enforced. You go down and 24% don't have policies in place, right? This is government. 18%, which is, I'm looking at this 18%, okay, these are the leaders, these are people we want to go to. Automated late in development. I mean, at least they're getting a crack in the door. They're starting to automate it as it's coming out of development. So there's some kind of checks during the handoff, an automated check during the handoff. And then the 12%, and this is the people I want to be associated with, and I hope you would be too. The 12% are automated across the entire software development lifecycle. Not just the development, but the software lifecycle itself, even after it's produced. These people have automated the process of not only doing the checks against policy, but they're also monitoring their current applications for any changes. That's huge. That's really huge. So describe your current application security policies. This is for developers only. Pulled it out for the developers. 42%, you know, said, you know what, I want to do a good job, but we don't have what we need to get this done. We don't have clear policies, and if we do, I don't have the tools to enforce it. So 9% said, I've got automation across the life cycle. That's great. That's great. Observations, I'm not responsible, but I have no tools. I've got no policies. And big thing is, I've got no time. It's not in my job description. If you're doing continuous integration, how often is code compiled? 40% said automated security testing, multiple times a day. Multiple times a day, right? This is an interesting one because you get a cross statistic here. If there's continuous integration implemented within the team, the percentage of automated testing increases. It makes sense, right? So if you're looking for an example, if you're looking for best practices, it seems to me that you start looking at continuous integration, especially if you have to, if you're going to deploy multiple times a day. The numbers that Gene spit out yesterday were astronomical for me, how much people are actually doing. Do you see that 3,500 times the Toyota line stops for the creation of the cars, 3,500 times a day? That's continuous integration, isn't it? So if there's continuous integration, then you can look and see, okay, where can this be automated within this continuous integration? Where is security testing automated? I've talked to, I can't even tell you how many people about this thing. The highest cost to test and fix security is once that application has been deployed. I mean, it seems obvious, right? Because you've already got a developer that has already turned over the project. His heart isn't in it anymore. He's working on something else. You developers know that. Once you hand it off, it's gone, right? And you're working on something else. So the dilemma for me is I have not been able to find any hard financial numbers on the real cost of what it is to fix things in production as opposed to fixing it in deployment. There was, I can't even call it a study, there was a graph that came out in the late 80s that said $25 in production saves you $16 million. I'm sorry, $25 in development saves you $16 million in production. You're shaking your head. I mean, it seems exorbitant to me. There is a large increase in the cost. We just haven't been able to codify it yet. So post-deployment is the highest cost. During development, you got a lower cost. But the lowest cost that you can really get is if you implement it in the design phase, through development, through the handoff, and monitoring. Please, go ahead. Yeah. That's a good point. Did you hear that in the back? Okay. Yeah, go ahead and I've got the mic up here. No, good point. Really good point. Because the complexity of the solution is going to increase the farther through the cycle that you've got. That's good. So what are you testing? And here's a big one. I mean, we talked about it at the very beginning of this. 80 to 90% of your applications now for major enterprise applications are made up of open source. 30% of the companies are testing for open source, those open source binaries. And you know why? It's a really simple reason. It's very, very easy in-house to test your source code. There's all kinds of tools for testing source code. There's all kinds of tools for doing penetration testing. All of the easy tools are down at the bottom, and again, you know, the problem is, how are you going to test your third-party components? What are you going to do to test third-party components? So what we've got is 37% in tech, 20% in financial services, 29% in government. Say, we test for open source components. That means about 70% of the companies, once they use an open source component, it's completely trusted. I think that's a problem. So the summary here, so I can wrap it up and get you the talking points here. Number one is, if you're going to do this properly, you have to consider some type of automation. And I know you can't go in tomorrow and flip the switch. But there has to be some type of automation in order to manage open source components and projects. If it's a simple repository that you've got, that's fine. If you've got something that's managing the components within the repository, that's even better. And then if you have the testing going on during the entire life cycle of that application, that's the best. As we saw there too, you can start to gauge who's doing good jobs just by looking what they're setting up. And the big one for me is somebody's doing continuous integration. They got a CI going on, continuous integration going on. There's probably some kind of automation. Yeah.
I was just saying we have CI.
Okay, great. So if you've got your phone open or your computer open there, if you go, just send an email to community@sonatype.com right now, and you get the slide deck immediately. It's automated. It's just going to come to you, so you can have it within the next 5 seconds if you want it. Community@sonatype.com. This is going to be an ongoing study. I'm going to get the group together again, and what we're going to do is do this study again in the first quarter of next year so we can see if things are changing. As I'm going to conferences, I'm seeing there is starting to be much more buy-in towards this type of movement and this understanding. The buy-in is great, but what we're really looking for is best practices. So if you have a story, I would love to hear it. I would love to help you promote your story on how you're doing this. How are you handling open source in your company? The story could be we were doing stuff so badly, it was really simple, we just did this one thing. The little tricks that are going to get people in to buy into this is what we're looking for. So survey sponsors, again, thank you. I will take questions if there's any questions. Oh, if they're good ones, I don't want to hear them. did it ring a bell? Did you see yourself in there somewhere? That's the big one. So for me, it's so important that you start thinking about how these open source components are being managed, because most of your applications are made up of open source components. Please, in the back. Do I have a list somewhere of the automation packages people should be thinking about? No, not yet. That's where I'm headed. In a couple future projects, what I'm working on is I actually want to build a coalition of all of the tool vendors and find out what are the rock stars of DevOps using for their tool chain, so that we can actually look at the rock star DevOps tool chain and analyze it. So I am working on that, absolutely, yes. Anybody going to go to RSA? Anybody going to RSA next year? No? Because I'm trying to get it done for that. All right. Anybody else? Thank you. Like I said, you can go here. The deck will be sent to you immediately. Thank you so much for coming.